Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Busted Open Nation. John Alba here with the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer, and this is the Saturday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. On today's show, we'll discuss some of the big moments from Friday night SmackDown. Jey Uso breaking his silence on his attack on Sami Zayn on Monday Night Raw, but who came to the aid of Sami? Well, you know who it was. Cody Rhodes. What does Cody's growing involvement with the Bloodline mean for his WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns? Plus, WWE announced the first inductee into the 2023 Hall of Fame class. We'll break it all down right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Tommy, we've been waiting for weeks to hear from Jey Uso in this next development of the Bloodline story. I know you're a big fan of the Bloodline story and how it's been evolving week over week here. And last night, and even dating back to Monday too, on Monday Night Raw, we saw a pretty significant development in the character arc of Jey Uso, where last night he explains that the reason that he stuck with Jimmy Uso was because that's his brother, that's his blood, and Sami Zayn is not. What did you make of what Jey had to say for his motives here?
I loved his promo. There was many things great about it. I wish he would have given a throwback to his dad with "It was me." When Rikishi was the one who was the bad guy. Also, shout out to my twins who turned 19. So everybody, if you saw my first of many final WWE matches, my daughters are now 19. So now, wow, you feel old.
Happy birthday to them.
And I couldn't be prouder of the women that they've become, and I love them so much. His promo was different. His promo was real. The way he was walking around, the way he was talking, he had conflict. And, you know, most of wrestling promos are, "I'm the bad guy because of this," or "I'm the good guy because of this." But he was a conflicted person. And my favorite part, well, it was kind of two parts. I watched Raw right before I watched SmackDown. I've just been delayed and I haven't watched Raw. So I went from seeing his return and what an amazing return on Monday. And like, I mean, they hooked the people and you saw the rise of emotions with the fans. And that storytelling was just amazing from when he's coming down and, you know, through the people and then, you know, the victory and then, you know, walking past his brother and then hugging him. And then just that celebration, the fans like, "Oh my God." And then the way they took it away was beautiful. I mean, it was great. I haven't seen something done that great in a long, long time. And then the follow-up, of course, on SmackDown, where first off the limo and, you know, the conflicting look that I have given to Paul Heyman many, many times. and that, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to say in the ring." And then the promo by Paul Heyman, which is absolutely great. Paul is amazing at that. He's an amazing storyteller and he's an amazing person to piece together from how I'm going to get from A to B to C to D. And I mean, Paul has been the voice within the Bloodline and he does a lot of subtle things. And then the promo, when he just, like I said, the way he walked, the way he, if you have conflict and if you have conflict in your family, it's frustrating. It is, you don't know what to do and all these different things. But it's like at the end of the day, you have to do something for your family, for your twin. There is a bond between brothers and sisters. There's a bigger bond between twins. And everybody knows that if you're having a fight with your sibling or, you know, a parent, it weighs on you a lot heavier than it does a friend. And then he also, which I love because that's what you're supposed to do, he put it on the fans. And that part was masterful. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And even, you know, on this show, we have Brian Gewirtz come on, and he was just like, they just came on the show when they debuted because it was something. And the one note Vince said, make sure they don't talk. And now they're carrying segments like this and have been for a long, long time. I've said this before when they had their split. You saw the money in both those guys, especially Jimmy. And man, he was a money player last night.
So I agree with like 95% of what you said. The only issue I had with this promo, and maybe I'm asking for it to be somewhat a little overt, perhaps, they reminded you with the video package they showed leading into the show that if Jey Uso did not show himself on Raw this past week, that Roman Reigns was going to take it out on Jimmy. And as a result, we saw Jey Uso show up on Raw and we got the turn. And in his promo on SmackDown, he's mentioning that he came back for Jimmy. But then he turns that into, well, Sami Zayn, you're not blood. Jimmy's my blood. I would have loved if we got some sort of a subtle allusion that the true reasoning he did it, because I do think this is the true reasoning, I think it's something that will unfold over time, that the true reason he did it was because Roman's holding that over his head that he'll hurt his brother. Because if you remember, Tom, that was the impetus for Jey Uso having his struggle with Roman Reigns at the beginning of all of this bloodline stuff back in the fall of 2020, where they had the Hell in a Cell match and Roman Reigns was about to destroy Jimmy, but Jey got on his knees and kissed Roman's feet because he needed to save Jimmy. So I would have loved if we got some sort of subtle, hey, the only reason I actually did this is because Roman was threatening to hurt my brother. But I didn't feel we got that in this segment. Nonetheless, incredibly convincing, as you said. What do you think about that?
Two parts. If you go back to Paul Heyman's promo talking to Jimmy, if he doesn't get Jey under control, when Paul was just like, you know, and then Roman's going to take it out on you. And how he points it to him like who's holding a gun. Because the gun, the proverbial, the gun is to your head.
Sure.
That's your implied stuff. The also part, he is related to Roman. I don't think the bloodline going into WrestleMania can have, you know, 21 days away, can have these cracks in their foundation. They have to show that they are somewhat united, because then you're going to have conflict within your storylines. There's already like, because now we have to be, we're full blown Cody Roman. And then we're also the conflicts where I say, who's going to be facing, you know, the Usos for the tag titles. If you think about WrestleMania, it would have been a perfect spot with Kevin Owens. Kevin's like, hey man, kind of just leave me alone. It's also a perfect spot for Sammy and Cody to tag against them. But Cody has a bigger match, unless you're going to do, and if Cody's going to be like having a holy Cody moment, fight for the tag titles the first night and fight for the world title the second night.
The Cody versus real in that regard.
Yeah, because he does fit in. I understand what you're saying. For me, I had no problem with it, basically because you don't want to keep splitting hairs or causing this dissension with this group, because it's a bigger story with the group as opposed to the guy going into your biggest show.
Sure. I hear that. I hear that. I guess my thing, Tommy, was just that, like, if we're going to lead to WrestleMania as this big, enormous moment in this bloodline storyline, which I think you and I can both agree that there's going to be some sort of major turn in the bloodline story at WrestleMania, where either both entities lose in the Usos and Roman Reigns, or some sort of dissension really makes itself prevalent and obvious to the audience. I guess what I was just suggesting was maybe teasing at that a little bit going into WrestleMania can give you the why this all falls apart at WrestleMania. Does that make any sense?
yeah, pending where you want to go with WrestleMania. I mean, I also think there's going to be, there's two ways you could play it. The bloodline is stronger than ever, and then it's who is going to ever end the bloodline unless you turn them baby faces. And then you have, in my opinion, Gunther and Imperium are the ones who can get some money, but then it's a complete baby face turn. Cody is the perfect person to make them lose everything. And if they're going to go away, Paul keeps talking about the 1,000 days, which that could be a celebration. I don't know what day that falls upon, but if it by chance falls on a Monday night, think of that, or on a Friday night. Another great part of this, both shows, no Roman. And they're telling these stories without the guy there.
Yeah.
And that's how, like, what key cogs everybody is into this. Even Solo, when Solo has done nothing. My personal opinion, you keep on riding this bloodline, and it's Solo who goes solo and does the turn, and he's the one to take it out. But I don't think, I think they're far away from all of that. I mean, I'm talking months away.
Hey everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Ante Up Podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
Tommy, we just spent the last segment talking about what we saw from Jey Uso, but he was not the lone character in this Bloodline segment on Friday Night SmackDown. Of course, Sami Zayn getting involved, attacking the Usos, and then Cody Rhodes ultimately making the save here. They have a really delicate job that they have to do where they have to walk this line where Cody is put on your television in a way where the fans are really anticipating him, but he also can't overshadow what Sami Zayn has going on with the Usos. And I've been really fascinated in seeing how they walk that line. What do you think of Cody's involvement in the past two prominent shows, Raw and SmackDown?
They're doing Cody right. And that this is where we talk about the machine. And when the machine gets behind you, they do everything correct. And you know, when you're in the throes of a push, and it's also deservingly so, you know, the John Cena promo and then John Cena just introducing Cody Rhodes to that boss. It's the home crowd, guy. It's John Cena endorsing. They do have a friendship that, and it's almost like the proverbial passing of a torch. And then later to come out there for the guaranteed, here comes the babyface pop on Raw. Here's what I loved about Cody. They're talking about him. His music, you and I were talking during break. People are singing along with that music. It's catching. And they're enjoying it. I love when Cody's like, when he says, so what do you guys want to talk about? I think that is an amazing catchphrase that he needs to use. It's established, but it's not over. And when you're talking about when you're a top guy, when you're talking about, you know, getting to that next level, and I'm not talking about top guy level, I'm talking about face of the company level. I'm talking about, you know, Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena, Roman Reigns, you know, Roman Reigns has the acknowledge me, boom, with Cody, when he walked out there, man, it was great. My number one was, I would have hit my line there. So what are you guys talking about? And then ha, ha, ha. Well, it's what everybody complains about with the internet. Everyone wants to talk crap about me, about you on social media. But he was like, hey, if you're going to talk about me, say it to my face, which is, and the people loved it. And that little back and forth and these little digs that, where like, there's some truth to both sides. And then at the end of the day, we have a fight. And then the better part of it, here comes my other most beloved person. Because what another thing that they're doing is they're establishing Sammy as a top guy. And these are all things, because you have to hear these reactions, you know. I'm sure you've discussed it when you're talking about Matt, or even with Eric Bischoff, when you're hearing these reactions of these people, and I'm talking about the Goldbergs, I'm talking about Jeff Hardy's, Rob Van Dam's, like, we lived it where the people are like, and then like, even when you don't want these people to be like the face of the company or something, and it's like, how do I not listen to my audience?
It's undeniable.
And you have that with both Cody and Sammy, and putting them together. I mean, and honestly, like, just hearing myself say it out loud, if you don't think the ultimate FU to the bloodline would be Sammy and Cody winning the tag titles the first night, and, you know, Roman and Cody beating Roman the next night and having like all the gold, because that's what the bloodline has done. And if you threw Kevin Owens in that mix after either heel or babyface and just flip it, man, it's all these different routes. And as somebody who writes television, it's giving you options. And as fans, it's like, where are they going with this? But who cares? Just, you know, let me sit back and enjoy it.
There's a couple things I want to dig into that you just said, as far as the catchphrase. So what do you guys want to talk about? The reason I think that you're onto something there too is that something like that invites the fans to be part of the moment with the character. And I think pro wrestling is at its best when the audience forms that connection where they feel like they are part of the art. And with a guy like Cody, and I mean, you're such a Dusty Rhodes guy, you know, when they feel like they're a man of the people, right? That authentic connection that is formed when that audience feels invited to be part of what is happening and playing out in front of their television screens, I think that's where the magic is. And that's why Cody is finding himself in a place where he's going to be very successful in this role as a top guy, if not face of the company for WWE. But on the point of the characters, this is a great point you made. There was a really good opportunity to elevate Sami Zayn to be that top guy. They chose not to do it at Elimination Chamber. They stuck with their plan of Cody Rhodes. In so many years past, say they had done that with Daniel Bryan when he was hot in 2013, 2014. And they just were steadfast and Batista was going to be the guy. Well, the fans would have rejected that. And Daniel Bryan would have ended up in a WrestleMania match against Curtis Axel. And that's nothing against Curtis Axel, but he wouldn't have been in a prominent match, right? Now, because of the strength of the characters in this bloodline story, the Usos included, and Kevin Owens specifically, Sami Zayn doesn't have to be in that championship match, but he still feels like he's such an important featured main event caliber performer in this story and eventually at WrestleMania because of the strength of the performers and the character development that has taken place in this bloodline story.
Yes. Here's the other part to that too. The fans. This is why wrestling is so, so real. The fans are willing this to happen, and the fans continuously to support their baby faces and having this undying loyalty to these people are helping, like, and it's the purchasing of the t-shirts, and you look around, there's signs like, man, I love when I see, because I always say, man, history repeats itself, especially in professional wrestling, a lot of times for the bad, which I hate, but also a lot of times for the good. And the fact that we are seeing more, and then of course that happens because of competition, when you have signs there, when you have, you know, people able to like go back and watch opens of Monday Night Raw, where it was just a sea of signs. But it was like, hey, my sign's going to be on TV. It's that acknowledgement. John Cena acknowledging a sign. That girl was like, oh my, it's because guess what? That wrestler did see me. And I would see signs all the time for myself. Those were the people that I would take my shirt off and give them to. Because I was a kid who wrote a sign for somebody. And when you're talking about character development, you're talking about, it's not, And this is why WWE has been doing it great and has me so intrigued every single, I can't even say every Monday and Thursday, it's every day. And they're also doing a great job carrying Monday, promoting Tuesday shows. And then we have Thursday shows, or even Paul saying, you know, hey, if you don't get it done by the end of the week, you're going to get beat up in the very, very smug Paul Heyman-esque way. Keeping Sammy elevated to that spot. One of my, I've always talked about, like, if you think of, like, you know, The Rock, Kurt Angle, Steve Austin in a three-way, like, these things have happened. And you have all these top, top acts going at it that all have a reasonable grudge for what they want. That is just going to the bank and just cashing that all in. You have, like, you have such love for Sami Zayn. Cody has won it. You have, we can never, and they should keep showing that amazing performance that Cody had with his torn pec, because not only did it do it for him, but he did it for the people. He could have just walked away and said, I'm not going to have this match. Find a substitute. I've seen that. The Punjabi prison match didn't have the great Kali in it, you know? True. And so he went out there, did it, and he's grinding. He's out. He's, you know, on all the live events. He's doing all these things to show that I want to be that guy. And it's just working. It's firing. And to not get rid of or be like, oh, we're just going to make you this, you know, you're going to be Robin. You're not going to be Batman. But no, they're keeping, it's now Batman is tagging with Superman. And there's other, like, if Kevin Owens joined this, it would be phenomenal, where Kevin needs to put his own differences aside. And the people want it to happen. And that's a big thing for Kevin. If Kevin responds, now you're going to have a big Kevin Owens moment. And it's like, wow, this could be a force. And if Kevin doesn't want to do it, and Cody, like, if it's Cody and why not? Why couldn't he wrestle both nights? I don't think WWE would ever go that route. But lately, WWE is doing things that you can't predict, which is like, I lived it. I watched it yesterday with the turn on the Usos when he hugged, and I was like, man, this is great. The bloodline's over. Oh my God. Huh? They got me.
Yeah.
And I've been watching this since I'm 10 and I'm 52, 42 years of being invested in a product, following this team called WWE. Okay, you got me. Thank you. I love you.
And I want to bring up this real quick point before we go to break. There's something very poetic should Kevin Owens end up teaming with Sami Zayn at WrestleMania and defeating the Usos, where this whole story has been about blood and blood brothers. I mean, that's the whole impetus for Jey Uso's promo, right?
Yep.
Well, if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win those championships by defeating the Usos, they're brothers bonded not by blood, but by their shared experience. And it shows that there is merit to that. That is a true brotherhood that can exist. You don't need to be related by blood. It can be by the journey that's been traveled. And I think that is the magic right there in what can happen at WrestleMania.
Hey, everyone, it's Howard Bender from the Andy Up Podcast. Every weekday, Adam Ronis and I serve you up the picks, plays, and fantasy information needed to win your bets. You know, this isn't just your average sports betting show, though, for one very good reason. We won't tell you what to do unless we've already done it ourselves. That's right. We put our money where our mouths are, so we're just as invested in each bet as you are. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
Rey Mysterio, the newest inductee, the first inductee to the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2023, as announced on Friday Night SmackDown. I think a pretty surprising one, Tommy, that not everyone was expecting right out of the gate. Still an active performer and going to be seemingly in a featured match at WrestleMania here with Dominic. What was your initial reaction to the announcement last night?
Very, very happy and very, very well deserved for Ray. Personally, I love Ray. Me and Ray are friends. I haven't spoken to him in a little bit. I wish I bumped into him when we were doing stuff at the Royal Rumble, but I did walk and we interviewed Dominic. I can't sing enough praise for Rey Mysterio. And I tell this for every smaller wrestler. It was in my lifetime. It was in my career lifetime. Every smaller wrestler owes Paul Heyman a thank you because Paul Heyman invested in small wrestlers. And, you know, the first really was Mikey Whipwreck. And then when ECW wanted something different, Paul's relationship with Conan comes and he's like, man, and Conan has always been in Rey Mysterio's corner. He's like, I got this guy. He's blowing up in Mexico. And it was Rey Mysterio. And Rey Mysterio came to ECW again. Every person, luchadors, yes, it was involved before, but Paul brought it to national prominence. And they all owe Paul a handshake because he brought this thing called Lucha Libre to the forefront here in the States and promoted them. And Rey was like no athlete I ever saw. And I remember seeing him and being like, how is this guy doing things? And I watch, there's guys out there that I watch all the time. And I'm like, how do they do it? Especially sometimes in AEW, you know, Rey Mysterio. And I say this to every wrestler. If you're small, why do we ever cheer for Rey Mysterio? Rey Mysterio has won it all. Rey Mysterio is now going to be a Hall of Famer. But why do we cheer for Rey Mysterio? Because it's everything that Rey Mysterio does in his match that makes him. And I'm not talking about the dives. I'm not talking. It's the little things that he does.
The selling.
It still makes him the underdog. Rey coming in and working with Psicosis and working with Juventud Guerrero and having these insane matches. I will never forget. There was a car parked outside the ECW arena. The match goes out. Rey does a Rana off the car. They also dent this man's car. And the person who's, he comes out, because I spoke to him later, and he was having people, and he asked if Rey could sign his car. So instead of I'm taking this to the body shop, or instead of I'm going to sue you,
that's awesome.
Can you do this? And it lived, you know, Paul showed it all the time. Rey then going to WCW, and we're getting over with this talent. Then in one of the worst decisions your Mr. Bischoff ever had was taking off the mask. And I haven't forgotten. I put that up there with the Brock Lesnar beating, ending the Undertaker streak. So both Bischoff and Vince are on my list for really bad decisions in pro wrestling. And then Rey coming back. And I was there for Rey coming back. And Rey has been very, very much Rey. And, you know, when Rey had his first run in WWE, it was awesome. That was an amazing moment. Him winning the Rumble, him winning the title, doing it for his friend, it's awesome. Him getting let go, him tearing it up on the indies. I mean, a lot of people forget Rey was part of that first 10,000 seat, what All In or whatever were the first one was outside of WWE.
The main event of All In, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Rey is I could do a whole show talking about Rey. Yep. Rey, there's no one like him. There's people who can do stuff. And like, you know, there's that commander I recently just saw.
Yeah.
An amazing move. Vikingo does amazing stuff. Don't know if they're going to be Rey Mysterio because of how great Rey Mysterio is. Dragon Lee, man, I just watched him versus Will Ospreay. And I was like, Dragon Lee could be the next Rey Mysterio. That's how big Rey Mysterio is. We're always going to try to find the next one. And I don't know if that person ever exists because of how great Rey has been in the ring.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm pretty sure it was an interview that Rey did at the beginning of this year where he said Hijo del Vikingo is just the most exceptional lucha style wrestler that he's ever seen. So one hell of an endorsement there. And I agree entirely. For the record, he's unbelievable. And there's so much Rey influence in him. 877-344-4893, guys. In the next segment, we're going to take your calls because I'd love to hear all about Rey Mysterio and your guys' memories of Rey Mysterio and why you think, or maybe you don't think, that he should be first ballot Hall of Famer here. Tommy, do you think Rey could be the headliner for Los Angeles? Obviously, it's SoCal. That's his stomping grounds. Now he's more San Diego guy, but it seems to me that Rey could be a potential headliner for this class.
I feel Rey is the headliner. We're also 21 days out. I think Rey is a great, a great pick. A lot of people, here's why I love pro wrestling. The guy gets inducted into the Hall of Fame and everyone's like, yay. And then like, oh my God, Rey Mysterio is going to be retiring at WrestleMania. And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, no, that's what happened with Ric Flair. Ric Flair got inducted and then Ric Flair. And I was just like, can he have, it wasn't even 5 seconds of, right. Hey, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. It's Rey Mysterio is retiring. I don't know if Rey Mysterio is retiring. I don't know right now if there is retirement within the WWE. We look at the great work that Lita's doing, Trish Stratus coming back, Beth Phoenix. There's a lot of wrestlers that still have gas in the tank that could go out there and perform. And Rey does. Rey is still has great matches. So don't know if that's a thing. Going into the Hall of Fame doesn't really mean that you need to be retired, which I love about professional wrestling because, you know, in football, hey, you got to fill out this paper. And then 5 years from now, when people are starting to forget about you, we'll start talking about your name being out there. So it's great. And my other favorite part about it is Dom. Cutting an angle from this, and if WWE creative, you're listening, Dom cannot be in the audience for his father's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know why? Because if Dom starts crying, it's over.
It's over. That's it.
Dom has to sit in the back like The Undertaker used to have to sit in the back. And Undertaker wanted to be out there forever, but you can't be. And I'm sorry, but you're involved in a money angle and you're a money player. For the first time, I always said, like, and you're talking to someone who's 52 and has a stupid haircut, but I have my reason for my stupid haircut and not to hide my bald spot. It's because my daughter did my hair one day and she likes it. So I don't really care what people think as long as my daughter did something. And I said, I'm never going to cut it again. She goes, nope, I don't want you to. Done. but with the first time I'm watching, and when he said about the Eddie, I go, holy crap, his hairstyle is Eddie when Eddie was doing the feud.
Yep.
And we've watched Dominic since a little kid who could barely like talk. And like when he was holding that ladder, scared to death, we've heard all the bios, all that stuff. And it's just amazing to see him go out there and he's getting heat. And, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I have someone on social media who says, who has more heat, MJF or this person, MJF or Christian, MJF or Dominic? And I'm after last night, I was like, Dom is moving up there on that heat scale. And just his look, his thing. And again, man, it resonates because I'm talking about my mom. My mom, like, I would drive home like crying, like, man, my mom's going to die today. And then my mom makes this amazing comeback. She literally gets cleared on Thursday. But so many times when like I know my mom is doing better, I was like, oh, why does my mom have to be such a pain in my ass? Like on the littlest things. But then I have to go back and think, you know what? I almost didn't have my mom 3 weeks ago. So I have to like take that in. This is all real life stuff. When we feud with our parents, or I don't want to say feud, but have disagreements with our parents, or like, I haven't talked to my mother or my father in a long time. This is like really resonates for a lot of people, as well as the fact is we haven't heard from Rey. Rey refuses to stick up for himself. And I'm telling you, the all-star of this all is Rey's wife, Angie, or Rey's daughter. We've already seen Rey's daughter on television. Don't know if we're going to see her again. She's an amazing, beautiful girl, but I know when the mother, like, listen, my household, my father was very, very laid back with me. When my father spoke up, it was okay. But when my mother would get involved, I was
business.
Like, that wooden spoon is coming out and I'm going to get my ass beat if I don't, you know, go in line. Dom has doing an amazing performance, and so has Rey. Rey has spoken volumes by not saying one word.
Yeah, there's a lot to pick apart there that you just said. And again, in just a little bit, we're going to open up the lines to the nation to talk about Rey. 877-344-4893. I like the idea of Dom not being there at the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't even be surprised if at the end of Ray's speech, Dom tries to lay one in on him and takes him out. I'm curious. We've never really seen an angle set up at Hall of Fame. And I don't think this is the worst opportunity to do something like that. But I think Dom has been so successful because for so long, he was just Rey Mysterio's son. That was his character. I'm Rey Mysterio's son. Now we have this absurd, I was in prison for 12 hours character where he's leaning into it and everyone recognizes it's ridiculous. And that's the magic to it. He's not shying away from acknowledging that it's ridiculous. And that's where you get the heat continuing and continuing to build. Let me ask you this. Dom would be the natural person to induct him. It's not going to be Dom. So who should be the one inducting Ray? We know Vicky Guerrero is still technically tied to AEW. She'll still be tied to AEW come the beginning of April. Maybe a Chavo Guerrero type. Anybody else come to mind for you?
Conan. Like I said, Conan had Rey Mysterio's back since day one. And I remember when Conan showed up in San Diego to talk to John Laurinaitis about, hey, Rey's contract's coming up, blah, blah, blah. And Conan is an amazing speaker, but Conan has had Rey's back, you know, from the beginning. Another person, Edge, has had that relationship with Rey. I personally wouldn't have him out there. I love where you said there's never been an angle like that. I think of what Raven just did. Raven just had his, and it really wasn't expected because Raven's, you know, I know his shoulders hurt. Raven was pretty beat up. And then he just turned to me and he was like, hugged me. And then he's like, I'm going to DDT you. I got one left. I was like, all right. And I got like shoot DDT'd on a stage during his thing. I mean, that's another great moment where you can have Ray and Dom. Oh, we're breaking our character. We're hugging. I love you, Dad. And then he takes him out there at the end of the night. And that's also why I would have Ray be the headliner to have that nice, the confetti comes, here comes his son. He hugs him. He's crying. And then, nope, see you later. I got you, Dad. You're an idiot. I mean, and it's more sympathy. Like, I ruined your Hall of Fame night, Dad.
Yeah.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa Rivas.